So we're in the middle of a series called Country Gold, The Message. And today we wanted to talk about something that had to do with Veterans Day. And so it's important that we learn how to fight. And I've got a little plaque in my office that says, don't fight like a man, fight like a man of God. And to know how to fight and why to fight, because there's battles going on, and we are thankful for our veterans, and I want to sing this song, and that's what we do. Like, we're going to sing this country song, and then we're going to preach about it. And it's not a Christian song at all. So, like, if you came to church, maybe this is you're like,
can't believe they're not singing a Christian song.
Well, it's kind of in the plan. So, this is Fight Inside of Me by Merle Haggard.
Griping about the way things ought to be. Now I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things that they believe in. When they're running down our countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Well, they're walking on the fighting side of me, running down. Claims that he just don't believe in fighting, and I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. But when you're running down our country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. They're walking on the fighting side of me, running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down our country halls, you're walking on the fighting side of me. You're walking on the fighting side of me, running down.
Sure glad that's over. Jesus. Give them all a hand. Good job. Y'all can make a coyote sound good. Goodness. I'm just relieved. You can't believe how relieved I am. Never been so nervous all my life. I want to talk to you about your passion today. Everybody is passionate about something. Really, everybody is passionate about something. And the title of my message today is to harness your passion. What are you willing to fight for? What are you willing to stand up for? What are you willing just to maybe to even give your life for? What would you be willing to do? Because there's some things in your life and in my life, I'm going to stand up for it. And I'm gonna go to the mat for. There's a lot. There's quite a few mountains that I'm willing to die on. And there's some mountains I'm just not willing to die on. But I think we need to know what mountains are important. Amen. And so my challenge to you today is to harness your passion. Now, some of y'all may not have grown up in the generation where they would harness horses so that they could pull a wagon or they could pull whatever. But a harness is something that ties two horses or four horses or six horses. They even had the 20 mule team. But there had to be a harness to keep all of those horses in line, all those mules in line. And when they'd all pull together, then they would actually get a load or of cargo to the place that they intended it for to be at. When I was a younger man, a friend of mine, We was up in Colorado. We was living there, and a friend of mine had a team of horses, and we was at a birthday party, and he asked if they wanted him to hook up the horses and go for a hayride. Oh yeah. So we hooked up the horses, put the harness on the horses and everything, and we took them out because they hadn't been hitched up very much, and so. He said, let's go just get them warmed up. So we went out there and they was doing fine. And he says, and you got to understand, it's just a flat wagon. There's no seat, nothing to hold on to. He's up here holding the horses like this, and I'm over here like this as a passenger. And there's about that much snow on the road and ice. And he says, think we ought to let him run? And I'm like, sure, why not? So I mean, he gives it to them, man. They start, and I mean, we're just all crashed down. And at the end of this road, it hangs a right, and there's a barbed wire fence on the other side of the road, and we're kind of coming up to him, and he starts to slow him down, and his footing isn't very good, and it's kind of slick. He said, help me. And I'm over here, I'm like, what does that mean? And so I'm thinking he needs me to get a hold of them horses because he ain't cutting it. So I reached up and I grabbed them reins, and when you grab the right rein, it gets a hold of the right horse, but it doesn't get a hold of that left horse. This right horse. He said, no. He said, hold me. And I was like, oh. He wasn't clear with me. So he got the horses stopped just in time to make the turn, but it got a little bit scary. My good friend Ray Hall, he's in heaven now, but my goodness, he didn't mind taking chances. We had a lot of fun. Some of it I can't tell you about. It's important if you're going to go to battle that you have your whole heart in the battle. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20 in your Bibles, if you would. Bring your Bible to church, by the way. Bring it to church. It'll help you to follow along. And if it's on your phone, that's okay, too. We don't even care. We don't have very many rules around here. I mean, you can even bring your coffee in the church building. A lot of churches don't let you do that. When I go to other churches, I sneak it in. Because I'm passionate about that. Francis Chan made this statement. Listen to this before we read that. It says, our greatest fear in life should not be of failure, but of succeeding in life at things that don't really matter. Greatest fear in life should not be of failure. Now, I got to admit to you, when I was up here singing, I was in fear of failure. But you know what? I got to thinking about it after that second service because I kind of messed some of the words up. But I think people don't care if you mess up. They're like, who cares? At least you're trying. But succeeding in life at things that don't matter, that's a problem. That's an issue. It should be an issue with us to go through life without a purpose and go through life for a passion for things that don't matter. Passion inspired by God can move mountains. Unharnessed passion may move man. Unharnessed passion may move man, but it will never move the hand of God. Had some friends of mine had a couple dogs, and when we were roping, you got to bring the steers back up the return alley. And so they had Australian shepherds, and they loved to go back, run up there and get the steers and bring them back. And so one time, well, it happened more times than once, but they'd sick them dogs on them steers, and they'd run up and get them, and they was good at it, and they could bring them back down. But inevitably, they'd get the steers about halfway down the alleyway, and then they just go to fighting each other. I mean, just fighting. Now, here's two dogs with a good purpose, and it's a good purpose, but the distraction was each other. God intends for the church to be unified as one with Him. Amen. And you see, the problem sometimes is that we allow ourselves to do this with each other when we need to keep our eyes on the prize and what we were created to do. Amen. It's good to fight, but we must know how to fight, because you are in a war today. I don't know if you knew that or not, but there's a battle going on for your soul. There's a wrestling match, if you will, because it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. There's a battle going on for your soul. So let me read this to you in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. It says, when you go out to war, this is directives on war. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God brought you up out of Egypt and will be with you. What he's saying is, don't focus on the horses and the chariots and the war, all of the things that could kill you. He said, don't focus on those things. When you are about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army, and he shall say, hear, O Israel, today you are going to battle against your enemy. And here it is. It says, don't be faint-hearted or afraid. When you have a battle before you, don't be faint-hearted, don't be afraid. Do not panic and be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will fight for you. Everybody say, he will fight for me. Amen. Say, he will go with me against your enemy, and he will give you the victory. And the officers shall say to the armies, get a hold of this. This is interesting. The officers shall say to the army, has anyone built a new house and not yet begun to live in it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else may begin to live in it. Has anyone planted a vineyard and not begun to enjoy it? Let him go home, that he may die in battle and someone else may enjoy it. Has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her? Let him go home, that he may die in battle and someone else may marry her. Then the officers shall add, is anyone afraid or faint-hearted? He says, don't be the squirrely guy that's afraid of fighting. Basically, that's Randy Weaver interpretation. It says, when the officers have finished speaking to the army, they shall appoint commanders over it. And when you march up to attack a city, make its people an offer of peace. Then it says, if they don't want peace, then you got to fight them. But basically, what it's saying here says, hey, there's a lot of distractions out there. Say, if a lot of people are distracted with their new homes, they're distracted with their marriage, they're distracted with whatever else they had. But he said, don't allow the distractions of life keep you from the fight. Now, what happens is that if we're not careful, it's like them dogs bringing them steers back. They lose sight of what they're focused to do and what they're created to do, and they get to fighting with each other. And it happens in the church, too, sometimes. I don't know if you've ever been in a church that likes to, they just kind of like to fight, you know. It's like, don't do that. That's not God. Amen. But fight for something, and that's for God's love. God gave us the laws that deal with our passionate warfare. The emphasis is on those who are distracted from battle. Ephesians 6:12, it encourages us to put on the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His power. In His power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For we struggle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, again, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Now I'll say this, that the child of God has three formidable foes or enemies. The first enemy is the world and the world system. You see, the way the world says things should be done is not really the way God says things should be done. John 17:14, Jesus said this. He said, I have given them your word. In other words, he said, I've given you, the church, God's word. Jesus said, I've given him the word. But it said, the world has hated them. The world doesn't like the word of God. For they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. God wants to protect you from the evil one. Can you say thank you, Lord, for that? Said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world, but sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. We stay sanctified by investing in the truth of the word of God. And what that does, it prepares us for the fight and for the battle that goes on in our lives. He said, my prayer is not for them alone, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. He said, once I have poured the word of God into you, he says, I'm going to pray for those that will come to know Christ because of the message that you have. Jesus's prayer, he prayed for you that you would take up the battle and put on the armor of God, and that you would be able to fight against the enemy by sharing who Christ is and loving people how God and how Jesus loved people, so that they might know what it's like to have eternal life and to have peace. My goodness, that's what these fighting men have fought and died to keep, is to keep the peace in our world and in our nation. And that's the reason, by the way, that Jesus died, was so that you could have peace in your life. Aren't you thankful? Because this world will not give you peace. Peace only comes from knowing the Prince of Peace, and His name is Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I have given them the glory that you gave me. He said, I've given you, the church, you the people, you're the church people. I have given you the glory that God gave to Jesus. That's a big deal. That they may be one as we are one. In other words, He gave you the glory, and He gave you His word so that you and me, the church, could be one, even as Jesus and the Father are one. There's a challenge for the church. Next time you get mad at somebody and you want to blow off a little steam, remember, God wants you to be one with that person that you don't like. Just saying, hey. Just a messenger. Verse 23, Jesus said, I and them and you and me, the Father and the Son, so that they, the church, may be brought to complete unity. The goal that God has for us, the church, is to be brought into complete unity. And that means to agree with him and agree with his word and not become divisive with him or divisive with his word, but to become one even as he is one. And that's the biggest challenge that married couples have, by the way, is to become one by agreeing with God. Amen? So the first enemy is the world. The second enemy is the flesh. In Galatians 5:17, it says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another. Your flesh, the fleshly body that you live in, is in conflict with the Spirit of God that lives in you. It came with Adam and Eve in the garden, and that's the original sin. And until we are given a perfect body when we get to heaven, we are going to have to always fight the good fight of faith and struggle against our flesh, because your flesh doesn't want you serving God. It's like a dichotomy. It's the flesh against the Spirit. And someone I said one time, he said, man, it's just like a good dog and a bad dog in me fighting all the time. And he said, they're always fighting. And the counselor asked him, he says, well, which dog wins? He said, the one I say sick him to. So they're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Oh, did you hear that? So that you are now that's why the church isn't full, because not a lot of people like to hear that. They don't like to hear that part. So that you won't do what you want to do. You see, that's not a popular gospel, and most churches won't even read that. But it's not about you doing what you want to do. It's about you doing what God wants you to do. Because you are no longer your own. You're bought with a price. God paid the price when he went to the cross for your salvation, so that you could have eternal life and you could be the righteousness of God. God made this transformation that you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. What that means is that when you've received Christ as your personal Savior, that God no longer looks at you like a lost person. He looks at you like a son and a daughter of the Most High God, that you've been adopted into the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means that you're willing to fight this fight for peace in your life and for the Prince of Peace, and that even though trials and tribulations may come and even war may come in your world, that you will always allow God to have his rightful place in your life, and you will not fight and struggle against God, but you'll fight against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness in high places, so that you will have victory in your life that comes from Jesus. The third enemy we all know is the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, it says this, 5:5, it says this, it says, in the same way you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. You know, there's always challenges for everybody. So if the young people are supposed to submit to the elders, then the elders have the responsibility of being a good steward of their submission. It says, all of you, everybody say all of you. And last time I checked, that means all of y'all. It says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Put on humility. In other words, put on a humble heart and a humble spirit. Put on a teachable spirit. Because it says this, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So what is God passionate about? And who will God give favor to? Those who are humble. Do you want the blessings of God on your life? Stop being a know-it-all. But be humble and be teachable, and because honestly, it doesn't matter who it is. It can be a little kid can teach you something. If you're teachable, if you're humble, God wants you to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, because if we're not careful, we will try to redefine the word of God because we don't want anybody telling us what to do. Have you ever said that? I want nobody telling me what to do. Oop, time to get on your knees. And then it says, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all, everybody say all, your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert, be sober. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Everybody say resist him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Just because you know Christ doesn't mean that you won't participate in some of this suffering. Because if we suffer through this life and we're faithful to God through this life, we will inherit eternal life. There were people and men and women, and some of y'all are here today that were willing to give of your time, and many gave of their lives so that we could have freedom. And Jesus was more than willing to give his life so that we could have eternal freedom. I'm thankful for that. The empty tomb declares victory. Now let me say this. Passion can never replace preparation. Oh, I'm so passionate about God. I'm just saying, are you prepared for the enemy though? See, you need to be passionate about God, but you also need to be prepared for the onslaughts of the temptations that come your way. That's the reason there's a battle between your flesh and your spirit. It's good to be passionate. I'm passionate about roping. I love to rope. But if I just went out there and entered all these ropings and never practiced and never prepared, I'd never win anything. I have to prepare. You want to be passionate about God? Be prepared. But the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Preparation is as important as passion. Amen? I got to keep moving here. I'm going to skip some of that stuff. So, Max Lucado put it this way. He said, suppose you came across me standing on the side of the road. And it's a road where you can go north or you can go south. And you ask me which way I'm going, and I reply, I'm going south. South. Thinking you didn't hear me correctly, you may ask me to repeat the answer. And I say, well, I'm going south. Well, I can't choose between north and south, so I'm going to go both ways, and I'm going to go south. You can't do that, you reply. You have to choose, and so I say, well, then I'm going to go north. North isn't an option, you say. It's either north or south, one way or the other, to the right or the left. When it comes to this road, you got to pick one. When it comes to this road that we're talking about, you got to pick one. When it comes to Christ, when it comes to Jesus, you have to do the same thing. Call him crazy or crown him as your king. Dismiss him as a fraud or declare him to be God. Amen. Walk away from him or bow before him, but don't play games with him. Don't call him a great man. Don't list him among the decent folk. Don't clump him up with Moses and Elijah and Buddha or Joseph Smith or Muhammad or Confucius. He didn't leave that option. He is either God or he is godless. Either heaven sent or hell born, all hope or all hype, nothing in between. He said, I said before you today, life and death. Choose life. Watch this video.
Someday, Liz, I'll go back, said Private First Class Peter Robert Zanetta of the 37th Engineer Combat Battalion and first assault wave to hit Omaha Beach. I'll go back and I'll see it all again. I'll see the beach, the barricades, and the graves. Those words of Private Zanatta come to us from his daughter, Lisa Zanatta Henn, in a heart-rending story about the event her father spoke of so often. She tells some of his stories of World War II, but says of her father, the story to end all stories was D-Day. He made me feel the fear of being on that boat waiting to land. I can smell the ocean and feel the seasickness. I can see the looks on his fellow soldiers' faces, the fear, the anguish, the uncertainty of what lay ahead. And when they landed, I can feel the strength and courage of the men who took those first steps through the tide to what must have surely looked like instant death. And like all the families of those who went to war, she describes how she came to realize her own father's survival was a miracle. So many men died. I know that my father watched many of his friends be killed. I know that he must have died inside a little each time. Lisa Zanatta Henn began her story by quoting her father, who promised that he would return to Normandy. She ended with a promise to her father, who died 8 years ago of cancer. I'm going there, Dad. And I'll see the beaches and the barricades and the monuments. I'll see the graves, and I'll put flowers there just like you wanted to do. I'll feel all the things you made me feel through your stories and your eyes. I'll never forget what you went through, Dad, nor will I let anyone else forget. And Dad, I'll always be proud. Through the words of his loving daughter, who is here with us today, a D-Day veteran has shown us the meaning of this day far better than any president can. It is enough for us to say about Private Zanatta and all the men of honor and courage, we will always remember. We will always be proud. We will always be prepared, so we may be always free.
We're here to remember. Yeah. I don't know what it was like. And many of you are here today that you know what it's like to be in war. And you know what it's like to lose your friends and lose your loved ones. Somebody said one time that a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Many of our soldiers gave their lives. They experienced war. They experienced what it was to lose loved ones so that we could have freedom today. Scripture says, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. We don't want to forget. We're here in America, and we're free in America because of these sacrifices and because of those who laid the groundwork with our Constitution. But I want to say, too, there's something else that we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget Gethsemane, that place where Jesus prayed, and the Bible says that he sweat as though it were drops of blood. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, listen to this, not my will. Jesus said this, not my will. It's a good template for prayer, but thine be done. And he hung on a cross for the cursed. And he was tortured and wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon us. And by his stripes, we were healed. I don't want to forget, but I really do want to honor our veterans. And I want to honor God, because as we have a free nation today, someday this is all going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. God said, my word is going to last forever. I'm going to tell you something. There's only three things that I can come up with that last forever. God, his word, and your soul. We get distracted with a lot of the investments that we make in people's lives, and we get invested. We invest in things, and we invest our time, we invest our talent, we invest our treasure. But if we're not careful, it will be a distraction from the eternal things. And I just want to challenge you today. Don't forget the one who gave his life so that you could have eternal life. Now, here's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't make anybody do the right thing. He doesn't make anybody fight their battle. He doesn't make anybody serve him. He gives us all a thing we call a choice, and a choice to live for him or not to live for him. And again, he said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Today, we thank you for all of our veterans. We thank you, Lord, for all of... We pray for all of our legislators. We pray, Lord, for our president. We pray for our governor. We pray, Lord, for America. Lord, we pray for those who are lost and dying without any hope. We pray for the church, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, to love people the way you love them. Help us to understand that people are your greatest treasure, and that when we love them, it's as though we're loving you. And we pray that you'd help us to do that. Today, oh God, we declare that we won't forget. We won't forget. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ, the scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. You may be thinking, well, I'm just not good enough. Well, join the crowd. None of us are good enough. But Jesus died that we could all have eternal life. And that was his purpose. His whole purpose was to let you come into his kingdom. But he left that choice up to you. So today, if you've never accepted him as your personal savior, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. I love God, and I want to make him my Lord. Slip your hand up high. Yeah, we want to put a Bible in your hand. Thank you back there. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. We want to put a Bible in your hand. You say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, leave your hand up. Thank you. Till we get a Bible in it. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. The scripture says it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, you can't work your way into heaven. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. Giving an offering doesn't get you to heaven. It's accepting Jesus as your Savior. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. If you raised your hand, would you mind looking up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray for you? Back in the back. Yeah, come on. Thank you. I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your hearts. I'm so proud of you. Bless you, girl. What's your name?
Megan.
Megan, I'm proud of you. Bless your heart. How are you? What's your name?
Pam.
Pam, thanks for coming up. Right here. Let me talk to you for a second. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So what I want to do, I want to help you invite Jesus to come into your heart. Can we do that? Okay, y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Just say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross
for my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my life.
From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible. Help me to pray. Invite people to church. And get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm so proud of you girls. Now look at here. When you walk out of here, you're going to have the same problems, but you have Jesus to help you with them problems. And keep showing up. We can help you if you'll keep showing up, okay? Thank you. Go visit with these ladies for just a second. There you go. Would you stand with me, please? Passion is a wonderful thing if it's directed in the right place. Amen. That was the whole deal today. Fight for what you know is right and fight like God would have you to fight. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. So my question to you is, are you here today and you've been going through life, but your passion really hasn't been for Jesus like it needs to be? Then you don't feel like you love people like Jesus actually loves people as God's representative. And you know that that's what God has for you. And from this day forward, you're going to declare that you're going to do the best you can to be passionate for God and passionate for people that you come in contact with. Raise your hand. Amen. Sweet. Now raise your other hand. Let me pray for you. Let's all raise our hands and surrender to God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Today, oh God, we thank you that we've drawn a line in the sand, oh God. And Lord, we understand that we are willing to fight for you and fight the battle, oh God, that you put before us. But we understand that the battle belongs to you, oh God, but we have to honor you with that. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted with our homes or our venues or the blessings of God or with our even our family, Lord. Don't let our family distract us from serving you, oh God. Help us, oh God, to be faithful to you in every area of our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless y'all. Thank you so much. We love you. We got a prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, we'd love to have you.